Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor, 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Halloween Thursday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, the free Odyssey app, and of course, streaming live on YouTube. 855-212-4227 is the number to jump on in. That's 855-212-4227. And you could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, X, at Zach Gelb. That is Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. You could always hit us up. 855-212-4227, like I just said. We're rocking and rolling all the way up until 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific time. Ryan Konigsberg's going to join us, the host of DNVR, the Buffs podcast. We will talk some Colorado Buffaloes at 4:20 p.m. Eastern time, 1:20 p.m. Pacific today. If you are listening to us, obviously on Sirius XM, Channel 158, one of our great Infinity Sports Network affiliates, you can't see us. So if you want to see what we're dressed up as today, you could go to YouTube, search the Infinity Sports Network, search the Zach Gelb Show, and bang, we pop up. I am Scooby-Dooby-Doo, by the way. In honor of the best pitcher in Major League Baseball, Tarek Skubal, who joined us early in the year, and I told him that my fantasy baseball name was named after him, Tarek Skubal, Scooby-Dooby-Doo. So I am in a onesie right now. If you want to see a big fella in a onesie, so all you ladies listening out there, if you want to see a big fella in a onesie with a Scooby-Dooby-Doo like headgear that is almost like falling down with the ears on the top of my cabeza, I had to wear a hat to prop it up. So The hood of this costume would not have costume erectile dysfunction, because that's what it was looking like without the hat. That you could go check out on YouTube. Now, last year, Stuart Kovacs had a 10 out of a 10 type of costume. Last year, I was Connor Stallions. I had the khaki pants. I had the military sweatshirt. I had the sunglasses with the binoculars as I was being the Michigan legend, Connor Stallions. Stu last year was Mike McDaniel. Stu is going a little blast from the past, and I think this show is coming back, if memory serves me right. And if you're watching on YouTube right now, you could see Stu Kovacs as Ted Lasso. Coach, how are we doing? I know that you've been out of work for a little bit. Everything good with you, Coach Lasso?
Yeah, everything's great.
Okay.
I don't have a good impersonation of Ted Lasso, unfortunately.
We just did the showing up part. Like Samter said to me before we got on air, you know, can you do a Scooby-Dooby-Doo voice? And I'm like, no, I could dress up as Scooby-Dooby-Doo. And let me say something. I am schwitzing my ass off right here. Like, it is so hot today in New York City. When I bought this onesie, and it's warm too, I was not expecting it to be in New York City today, 77 degrees. So when I walk into the studio and the AC is on 70 and I put the AC down to 66 and then Ack comes in there for about like 90 seconds to do his update and he jacks the AC back up to 70, it's like, what the heck are you doing, Ack? So I may be annoyed at Richard Ackerman today. So I don't know how much crosstalk there's going to be between Ack and I. Because it's like, you're in here for 90 seconds. Why would you then touch, you know, the thermostat in the studio when I have to sit here in a onesie and you're not dressed up? You know, if you were dressed up, Ack, maybe I would let you put that that thermostat up to 68 or 70. But I was not expecting when I actually walked to work today. Usually I'll take the subway and then I will walk home. Since I'm going to MetLife Stadium tonight for the wonderful Jets-Texans game, I said, let me walk to work. And I didn't realize how hot it was outside. I was getting a lot of weird looks today. And it's Halloween, right? Still, like, I wouldn't think I'd be getting a lot of weird looks, but they saw this large fella in an orange onesie with Scooby-Dooby-Doo, and I have a tail, and I was hoping... You know, I was hoping someone wasn't going to pull my tail. That's something. I don't think you realize the tail, but when I was walking the streets in New York City, and if you judge some videos from some of the psychos we have in New York these days, I was very, very scared that someone was going to grab my tail and maybe cut it off and run away with it. So I ended up walking to work today. I do have, so everyone's if they're wondering, a black t-shirt underneath this, and I am wearing shorts. So... I am not just wearing the outfit today, if you know what I'm saying. And the company threw a little Halloween party. And I put a video out online. They had a brand new Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. It's like a werewolf track is what they're calling it. And Stu, what is that exactly? Read what it says in the packaging right in front of you.
It says werewolf tracks, milk chocolate with vanilla flavored cream.
Yeah, there's vanilla frosting like on top of the Reese's peanut butter cup. Now, it's been out for a while. And like I said, it's a hot day in the Big Apple. So when I opened it up, it was like a little bit melted. It was good. It's not the OG, but it was still pretty, pretty good. And it was a good Scooby snack. There's no doubt about that. I'm not going to lie, Stu. I was trying to figure out what you were at first, and then I realized that you were Ted Lasso. You know, Ned Flanders, I thought, for a little bit at first.
Yes, definitely Ned Flanders.
And there was one other person. Oh, Bobby Valentine.
That's great.
With the disguise.
Yes.
And I will defend Stu here. I like your costume. Now, I'll be honest with you. If I didn't like your costume, I would tell you I didn't like your costume. But I walked in, and D-Cell... You know, Bill Ryder's producer, who's always trying to tear Stu down.
Always.
And I love D-Cell, but I'm not going to stand for it anymore when you're always trying to tear my guy down. Bill Ryder, if you want war, we'll have a war for crying out loud. But I was a little bit annoyed with Bill's producer because he goes, pretty lame of Stu not to dress up. And I'm like, what do you mean? He told me he was getting dressed up. So I didn't want the big reveal to be ruined. Now, I know you could see me, but I was purposely trying not to go into your studio area before the show. But when D-Cell told me you weren't dressed up, I came in and talked to you. And I could see right away. Now, you didn't have the glasses on. You didn't have the mustache.
Yeah, I wasn't complete yet.
On as well. But I saw your jacket. And I saw your whistle. And I go, okay, Stu's got something to work with. I think your Halloween costume is a good Halloween costume. So that D-Cell, you got to be careful around him. Because the next thing we'll know, and I know D-Cell listens to us on his way home, so I hope he's listening right now. Just be careful around D-Cell. Because Halloween or not, next time you're coming around the corner and you're walking away from him, he may stab you right in the back. What did he say about your costume?
Oh, he said
the same thing
he said to you. He said it's a lame costume.
Okay. Well, he wasn't dressed up at all.
That's correct.
So he's lame. So how can he call Stu lame? Where Stu is actually showing effort and Stu is actually contributing to our fine national radio program. And D-Cell is just sitting there as a Debbie Downer. All right. So I'm annoyed at D-Cell. Very annoyed at D-Cell. I'll probably forget about it by tomorrow. But right now I'm annoyed at Tom DeCelestino. And you know what? When he goes trick-or-treating with his kids today, I hope... this is going to be mean to say. I hope his kids get the candy that they want. But when D-Cell does the little parent five-finger discount, I hope it's not the candies that D-Cell likes. I hope the candy that D-Cell's kids like is different than the candy that he likes, and he doesn't get anything nice for Halloween this year. I don't wish ill will against his kids, obviously. That would make me a miserable human being. I'm a little bit miserable, not full out miserable. But I hope D-Cell doesn't get any good candy today. You know, maybe I'll tell some old lady to give him an apple. I'm not going to say put a razor blade in it. Like, that was a fear as a kid. You ever get told that as a kid?
I've never heard that one, no.
Yeah. My parents would always be like, we got to inspect the candy. There's some story about some wacko putting, like, razor blades and stuff. And I'm like,
oh, geez.
Looking back at it, maybe that was true. Maybe some sick you-know-what did that. But I think it was my parents' way of really inspecting the candy. And then they would be able to see what they were going to eventually take when Zach would go to bed, right? And the candy would be on the counter or would be in the freezer. My dad was very big about freezing the candy. For some reason, my dad, when it comes to cookies, when it comes to chocolate, when it comes to, like, any type of, like, Halloween candy, not like the gummies, but he likes to put it in the freezer. Like, remember those cookies? What were those? It was like a light chocolate frosting on the inside. It started with an M or something like that. Oh, what's the name of those cookies? Hold on. I just want to make sure I get the name of these cookies right. Yeah, Milano cookies. Yeah, those cookies. For some reason, my mom would come home with them. Right away, my dad would throw them right in the freezer. Nah, they weren't bad in the freezer. But Bob Gelb was a big freezer person growing up as kids. You know, when I was growing up as a kid. All righty. Wasn't expected to do 10 minutes on Halloween, but, you know, Scooby-Dooby-Doo was a little bit annoyed with some people around here. You know, some people, you know, they got to start showing some more respect around here, if you know what I'm saying. Anyway, let's get to the World Series from last night. Stu, is that why you're wearing sunglasses? To cover up your tears?
That's
those,
right.
Those eyes wet?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both, the costume and the tears.
So when your team is up 5-0.
Thought it was over.
Sure, yes. Obviously. You got your ace on the mound, Gerrit Cole. You know, you should be able to force it back to L.A. for a game 6. But everyone naturally, when it's a 3-1 series and you're on the verge of making it 3-2, right? Where was your mind at in terms of confidence that you were either going to win the series or at least win game 6 to then force a game 7? Like, how quickly, when it was 5-0, Judge is coming alive, you got the Giancarlo Stanton home run, like, where were the Jazz Chisholm home run as well? You got to be careful when you say that name on the radio. But where were you at in terms of the Yankees are not only winning this game, but the Yankees, maybe they could do the unthinkable, like the 2004 Boston Red Sox?
I was in the mindset of, let's see how many more runs we can get so we can take out Gerrit Cole and save him for a couple innings in a possible game 7. Again, I told you yesterday, I still didn't feel great about a Carlos Rodon pitched game 6,
yeah.
Especially out there against Yamamoto, against that lineup. But
sure.
Still, you get there, you never know what's going to happen. Maybe Yamamoto implodes and has a terrible one or two innings, and then you figure it out. Rodon doesn't pitch too badly, and then you get to the game 7. But yes, my wheels are already turning that this was going to get to 7.
And then let's get to the 5th inning. Where it was the ultimate ruh-roh, if I'm going to be Scooby-Dooby-Doo today. That 5th inning, I'm telling you, I've had Little League performances fielding the baseball better than what the Yankees put out on full display. And it reminded me a little bit like what happened in the ALCS up against the Guardians, except the only difference is when they were throwing the baseball all over the place and botching the baseball, they won the game. So it didn't come back to burn them. But the Yankees, even though they were in the World Series, they had a bye to the World Series. They could not be as sloppy as they've been this year and as careless and reckless as they've been this year to try to go not only win an elimination game, but just win a series, a World Series, up against the Los Angeles Dodgers that have the best lineup in baseball, 1-9. It's the most well-rounded lineup in Major League Baseball. And Judge, who finally had two moments, right? The home run, the great catch in left center field. He then just makes what should have been a routine play. He makes a colossal mistake, but it's one mistake. Then Anthony Volpe rushes a throw. They couldn't find a way to clean the baseball, field the baseball cleanly. And then you were about to get out of it. Even with all the mistakes with Judge and with Volpe, you have what should be a routine ground ball with Mookie Betts, of all people, up. And how clutch he could be. You got Mookie. You did the easy part. Inning's going to be over. You're going to survive. You're going to be up 5-0. You're going to the next inning. And Anthony Rizzo fields the baseball. And at the first look, I said, even if Rizzo ran to the bag, I thought maybe Betts would beat him out. But he kind of saw Cole running. And that's when he slowed down. He's like, oh, Gerrit Cole's running, so I'm going to just flip him the baseball. And then by the time he goes to underhand it to Gerrit Cole, for whatever the reasons are, Gerrit Cole just stopped running. And I heard Gerrit Cole last night speak to reporters. I don't know if they had him up at the podium. I think it was in the locker room. I was listening on the Free Odyssey app to WFAN's coverage after the game. Gerrit Cole, I know he's not the greatest public speaker. I know he always sounds nervous. For as big of a pitcher as he is, for the contract that he has, you couldn't sound more lost than Gerrit Cole last night after the game. It was embarrassing. It was like, I know that they just lost the season, but you would have thought that he just saw like a murder in the streets. He couldn't speak. Everything was like, and he's talking about how he took the wrong angle to the, like, dude, it's the World Series. You can't assume in the world. I don't care if you made one wrong approach on the attack angle. Turn around and go. And that's the thing that both Rizzo and Cole did. And this is what championships don't do, teams don't do. You don't assume. Rizzo assumed, oh, Cole's covering. Cole assumed, oh, Rizzo's going to take it himself. And neither of them did what the other was assuming they were going to do. And once the Betts got on base, and then Freeman gets the base knock, and then Teoscar gets the base knock, when it gets to 5-5, Stu, I said, the Yankees better get a run in the bottom of the fifth. Because if they don't, this series is over. And I understand Glaber was up, didn't get anything to happen with the bags full, flew out. And I know that the Yankees ended up getting the lead back in the sixth when they went up 6-5. But even at 6-5, I'm like, no, 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 no. You can't have that miserable of a fifth inning against this team with this margin being so slim and with the problems that the Yankees have had in the pen and anticipate that the Yankees were going to win that game. And eventually, we saw the Dodgers tie it up. And then Mookie Betts get the sack fly. They're up 7-6. And once they took that lead, I never thought to myself that the Dodgers were going to lose. Even when the Yankees had first and second one out, Blake Schreiner already pitching an inning and 2/3, when Dave Roberts came out there, and I wouldn't have crushed Dave Roberts for doing this, I'm thinking to myself, Dave Roberts going to pull his pitcher because Dave Roberts is like the most careful manager, like overuses the analytics. But Dave Roberts, and give him credit for this, finally trusted his gut. He had a conversation with Blake Treinen. He heard what he needed to hear, and he said, you know what? This is your game. Go get the two outs. And he got the two outs. And then they bring in Walker Buehler. Boom, boom, boom. World Series championship for the Los Angeles Dodgers. So congratulations to LA. The Dodgers were the best team in baseball all throughout the year. They were expected to win the World Series. Even after like a little bit of a slow start, you knew they had the talent. Even with all their injuries in the starting rotation, they clearly deserved the World Series. And quite frankly, I don't think the Yankees were a worthy opponent. I know some people are going to be like, oh, what are you doing? The AL was so soft this year. It was the Royals, the Yankees never had to sweat. The Guardians, I know those games were close. You never thought the Yankees were going to lose that series. I know how many wins the Yankees have. The Yankees are a good team. But the Yankees just don't have that clutch factor. The Yankees just don't have that it factor. And the Yankees, I'm not even blaming Aaron Boone for last night. You know, I saw Yankee fans blaming Aaron Boone. Hello, you could blame Aaron Boone for a lot. You know, maybe game one. But Judge, a disgrace in this series. Volpe, I know he had the big grand slam. But you got to field that baseball and make a good throw. Cole and Rizzo lost as lost could be. In those spots, and you get what you get out of Cole in game one and game five, and you didn't win either. You know, that just sums up what the Yankees are. But the Yankees, as good as their record says they are, They are too sloppy, too reckless, and too careless with the baseball. And on the biggest stage, when you're going up against a team that you almost have to be perfect to beat. And Ohtani was nothing in this series with the injury. But you almost have to be perfect to beat this team. The Yankees had too many holes. The Yankees were Swiss cheese. And you know what happened? The Dodgers gobbled them up. They let them have their game four little victory. Oh, wonderful moment. And then in game five, even when the Yankees were spotted a 5-0 lead, they couldn't slam the door shut. It is the Zach Gelb Show with Scooby Dooby Doo and Ted Lasso. We're off and running on this very busy Thursday edition. We'll take a break. When we come on back, I envisioned something for years. And when it finally happened last night, it was extremely, and I mean extremely, just overrated and underwhelming. I'll tell you what that is when we return.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. So we said this for years. We need to see Shohei Ohtani in the postseason. Not just in the World Series, but just in the postseason. Because when he was with the Angels, it was maybe one of the more disappointing things that I've ever seen. With all of the hype around Ohtani and Trout being on the same team, all the injuries, obviously, with Mike Trout, and you had these two all-time great baseball players, and neither were able to get into the postseason. And it was like when Ohtani became a free agent last year, we didn't know where he was going to go. But we were saying, even though we thought he was going to stay on the West Coast, you got to leave the Angels. Like, if he stayed with the Angels, it would have been baseball malpractice for all of us. So Ohtani, in year one, we know he can't pitch right now because he's coming back from the injury. But he had one of the masterful seasons you will ever see with all those prodigious home runs. You know, joining the 50-50 club with the stolen bases too. And it was such a special year for Shohei Ohtani. But he dislocated his shoulder and he clearly wasn't himself in the World Series. And he was taking like these huge swings, which if your shoulder is dislocated, you would think maybe you would swing with like a little bit more grace instead of just trying to get up there and clobber the baseball. And it looked like his shoulder, his left shoulder, was going to pop out on every huge, gigantic swing he was taking. But I'm not going to lie. When the game ended last night, I thought this was going to be some awesome moment. Even though Ohtani really didn't have an impact on this World Series, but it's still this like godlike figure, this video game figure, this mythological figure, this person in Ohtani where he doesn't even seem like he's real. And in his first time in the postseason, he wins it all. But when the game ended, I wasn't even thinking of Ohtani. You know, this World Series, it was a giant dud. And I know that if you're a Dodgers fan today, you don't want to hear that. Congratulations. I'm not taking anything away from the Dodgers. Nothing away from the Dodgers. The Yankees weren't a worthy opponent. You know, the World Series is really the NLCS, in my estimation. And whoever got out of the NL. Because the Dodgers-Padres series was fun. Even though there were some blowouts, the Mets-Dodgers series was an interesting series. You know, it was 1-1 going back to New York, and the Dodgers showed their dominance in Game 3 and Game 4. The Mets won Game 5, and then the Mets couldn't hit in Game 6. But once the Dodgers got through the World Series, it was like, here are the Yankees, who the Yankees, even though they are the big brand of the Yankees, they played like a small-time team. that didn't belong in all these other World Series runs or postseason runs, because they haven't been to the World Series since 2009. And since the Astros weren't there, you know, they've been to a bunch of ALCSs, the Yankees. But since the Astros weren't there, okay, they were able to take care of business against the Royals and the Guardians. They're not like they're slouches. But the Yankees played, what, an average brand of baseball in the first two rounds of the postseason, and it was still better than anything the AL had to offer. But last night, when that ends in what is a memorable game, like, when you look back at this World Series, you're going to think about two things. You're going to think about those dopey Yankee fans that tried to fight Mookie Betts and play defense on Mookie Betts. And you're going to think about last night and what did transpire with the 5-0 lead, and then how the lead was blown, and then ultimately how the Dodgers were able to grind through that game and pull out a victory. But you look back at the other the Freddie Freeman storyline from a human standpoint, and hey, as a Mets fan, I hate Freddie Freeman's guts. But even with that being said, with how many times he killed my team, there's a respect level with what his son had to go through this year, what their family had to go through this year. The guy's playing basically on one leg, and all he did was mash home run after home run after home run after home run against the Yankees. But, like, you look at the storylines here. Dave Roberts finally had his moment, keeping Trinan in. You know, Freeman, obviously the World Series MVP. You have the great historical career of Mookie Betts, who has a World Series in Boston, now two with the Dodgers. We'll get into the dopes that are the Boston Red Sox for ever getting rid of Mookie Betts coming up later in the show. It's probably going to be the only time Stu smiles today, because Stu is down in the dumps after the Yankees losing the World Series. So at least he'll be able to poke fun at the Boston Red Sox incompetence. You know, Aaron Judge, outside of like two moments, really not showing up in the World Series. And then just the poor fielding of the Yankees. Like, you look at this World Series for what we thought it was going to be. Big brand, Yankees and the Dodgers, Ohtani and Judge. You got Soto and Freeman. You know, you got Giancarlo Stanton and Mookie Betts. It's like, this was supposed to be a classic World Series. And the Dodgers are just that much better than the Yankees, where it didn't live up to the hype. As someone that didn't have a dog in this fight. Which is funny when you say that when I'm dressed up as Scooby-Doo. But the Ohtani moment that we were all like drooling over for the last few years. He's got to get out of the Angels organization. He's got to get to a place that he could at least get to the playoffs and see if he could have those magical moments. Since Ohtani was hurt, it wasn't like he was a non-story in the World Series, because just his presence is always a story, but he was basically a non-factor at the plate. So when Ohtani wins, even though he had this historical season, I'm expecting it to be like the biggest thing I've ever seen with what the buildup was. And when they were in the euphoria of the celebration, I wasn't thinking of Ohtani. And it was actually, in a weird way, a letdown. And I know it's a 162-game grind. I understand the postseason's a grind. He had moments in the postseason. But in the Fall Classic, Judge didn't show up. Ohtani was hurt, probably contributed, obviously it did, to him not showing up. But the moment that you thought, and that was like going to overtake your body, and it was going to be so cool to see, and it was going to feel like you were watching history of one of the greatest players ever winning a ring, it was just a nothing burger for me. There were so many other things that stood out to me with the Dodgers that until they showed Shohei Ohtani, it was like, oh yeah, you know, that Ohtani guy, he won a World Series. So how I envisioned that moment didn't live up to what I thought it was going to be. And the reality of it was deflating, even though Ohtani had one of the all-time great seasons and he will go on to have one of the all-time great careers that you've ever seen. And you could argue that he may be the greatest baseball player of all time with how elite he is on the mound when he does pitch. And then when he's at the plate, we know whether it's the stolen bases, the home runs, the RBIs, the average, you know, he's a unicorn. It's like what I was told Babe Ruth was, right? And you almost like wondered as a kid, was Babe Ruth even real, right? That's what, like, 50 years from now, there's going to be like kids that are 10 years old. That's how they're going to hear those stories of Shohei Ohtani. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We will take a break. It is Halloween. Stu's dressed up as Ted Lasso. I'm in a Scooby-Dooby-Doo onesie. So I am dressed up as Scooby-Dooby-Doo in honor of Tarek Skubal, my favorite pitcher in Major League Baseball. And when we come on back, it can't be a radio day, like, with Halloween. And I always love when, like, you have a loudmouth like me giving a serious take, and I'm dressed up like some jackass. But there's some bits that happen in radio. And whenever it's Halloween, you got to have a conversation or a little kerfuffle about candy. We all love candy. We could all relate to candy. So when we come on back, I don't know. I know Stu has a sweet tooth, right? You do have a sweet tooth, I've been told.
Yeah, very much so. It's a problem.
But I don't know what kind of sweet tooth you have. Because you could have a sweet tooth, but that's a very vague and ambiguous thing. We just know that you like candy. And I don't think you know my kind of sweet tooth as well. So when we come on back, not that we're going to examine Stu's sweet tooth, but we're going to do a little bit of a draft. And we have the ultimate Halloween candy draft. Stu will get 5 picks. I will get 5 picks. And we will see what candies we put on our list and what are the candies that we get a phone call at 855-212-4227 saying, I can't believe, you know, Stu and Zach left this candy off the list. What's wrong with those animals? All righty, this is Zach Gelb's show on the Infinity Sports Network. Here's Zach. Alrighty, Halloween. Happy Halloween, all. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. And this portion of our extravaganza is sponsored by the new 2025 Hyundai Tucson Hybrid that has class-leading advanced safety features like the available blind spot view monitor to make your ride more enjoyable. Two things, Stu, before we do this draft. Number one, I am going to the press box tonight for the Jets-Texans game.
Not a Scooby-Doo, though.
Should I? If there's one day I could walk into a press box.
It's Halloween. What are they going to say?
In a onesie. I guess it is today. But I don't know. See, like, I'm not there regularly. It's like I'm representing the company. I'm going to see our pals, Ian Eagle and Mike Mayock as well. I'll go into the West 1 booth and say hello, watch a quarter in there. I like, as much as I think it would be funny, I just don't know how fun the Jets PR staff is. So if they see me dressed up, even though it's Halloween, they may be like, oh, the nerve of this Zach Gelb guy. And the last thing I want them to do, even though I usually don't give a bleep, is call our boss late night when it's Halloween and be like, hey, you know, Zach showed up as Scooby-Dooby-Doo. So I did bring a pair of jeans. And then I did have a sweatshirt that I think I'm going to wear to the game. But I feel like, you know, baseball, I definitely would never think about it because those baseball writers are just so curmudgeons and boring. You know, basketball, well, we can't get credentials for the Knicks anyway. Hockey, I think they would be fun. But for football, I feel like it could be 50-50. Even, you know, your boy will err on the side of caution. I think I will be respectable, you know, let me pretend to be a journalist kind of Zach Gelb. So that's all go about it tonight. So that was the first thing I had to say. The second thing, I forgot what the second thing was. What was the second thing that I was going to ask you? You know, you dress up today and then your brain stops working. So I'll
too think many Scooby snacks.
Yeah, too many Scooby snacks. Maybe there's some special Scooby snacks going on. You never know. All right. Oh, I remember what it was. You have worked here for how many years still?
Including being a part-timer, it's been like 11 or 12.
Oh, wow. That many years?
Yeah.
Jeez. So you have worked here for 11 or 12 years. I'm sure you've had things where your shift is scheduled. And have you ever cut it close in terms of when you walked in here?
Yeah.
So I was supposed to go to the Ranger game on Friday night with my dad. I got us 2 tickets to go to the game. My dad calls me up and he goes, your mom's dragging me to some Halloween party in their development. He goes, I can't get out of it. She'll be miserable if I don't end up going. So I'm like, all right, no worries. So I asked Carlos with the K, because I know he's like starting to become a big Rangers fan. Like how you started to love soccer.
Yeah.
That's Carlos with the Rangers.
Interesting.
So I said, do you want to go? And he goes, yeah. And I forgot, obviously, he's the producer of Bart's show from 10 to 2. But, like, you get to Madison Square Garden to the station in, like, 10 minutes.
Yeah, easily, yes.
So the game starts at 7. Usually hockey wraps up like 9:30 if there's no overtime or shootout, you know, maybe 9:20. So that's more than enough time. But if the game runs a little bit late, you would think that Carlos would leave early, correct?
You would assume, yeah.
Or do you think he does, which it's on a Friday, which is not nice to do.
Oh, Hickey has to stay in.
Hey, Hickey, I'm running 10 minutes late. Can you just get Bart on the air? And away you go. Like, he tried to get coverage, which I told him he should not do. Because I like even though I offered him, I said, hey, you know, I don't want this to come back to me. You got to work your shift. So, like, if you want to go, go. But don't do, like, hey, I'm going to get someone to cover me. Because it's not fair to Bart. It's a big football Friday. You know, we don't usually take off on Fridays, especially in football season, right? Like, in the summer, I'm not here on a Friday. Or if I am, it's because I didn't have enough off days. Or I just didn't want to burn one. But I think Carlos, with his military background, probably can perfect being on time, even if it means,
I think so.
Like, Hickey's sweating here in the studio thinking, it's 54. I haven't seen Carlos Ortiz yet, and his show starts in about 6 minutes. So
I think he could do it.
Yeah. So that was just
also,
something
I believe our friend Hickey is not here Friday because he will be
on his way to
a certain game. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So Hickey's going to the game. He didn't tell us that. What a rat.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. For all I've done for that guy. You know, kids these days, even though Hickey and I are the same age. So disrespectful. All right, let's get to the Halloween draft here, Stu. I'll ask you first. And I've been letting you decide the order of these drafts.
Okay.
Do you want to go first or do you want to go second? We're doing snake.
I have what I think is a pretty clear one, so I would go first.
Okay. Here's my problem. My big board only consists of 5 candy items.
Oh, that's...
So if you take one of my candy items...
Oh, no.
I'm going to have to just envision that I had a special Scooby snack.
Yeah.
And just have some sort of craving come right off the tip of the tongue. So you want to go first?
I would prefer to go first.
Okay. Give me yours.
My number one is Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
You bastard! Are you serious?
Dead serious.
So we have a similar sweet tooth, because that's my number one. Oh, and you're a rat, too. You recorded the video for me today.
I did.
When I was trying the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, and I'm like, this is my favorite candy. Huh.
To be fair.
You just played me.
To be fair, I had my big board written before that, and it was number one, but okay. I guess you make a good point.
You played me. It's all right. You got those glasses on. I can't see your poker face. All right. I will then give you my second... which is the second item on my big board, because Reese's Peanut Butter Cup is one. Give me a break. Give me a break. Give me a break of that Kit Kat bar. I'm going with the Kit Kat. Love a Kit Kat. Now, what is third for me, I don't think, because it's so obscure in particular, I think I may save this as my last pick. Because I don't think, you may say a relative of this, but you will not say the way that I word it. So I will go Kit Kat, and then I will take a Twix bar. So Stu, Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, I go Kit Kat bar, and a Twix bar.
Okay, so those were my 2 and 4. Twix was my number 2, and Kit Kat was number 4.
So what's 3?
3 is Skittles.
Is that what you're taking?
Yes.
Okay, good job. Next pick?
I will go Sour Patch Kids.
Sour Patch Kids. Man. See, that wasn't on my board, but I was starting to think, what else could I do? And I was thinking maybe Sour Patch Kids once Reese's Peanut Butter Cups got off the board. So I get 2 picks here, right? So I will be 3 and 4, and then I still have 1. M&M's. Now, do I have to specify which type of M&M's? What do you think, Stu?
I think it could be generic, because if not, then I would take another one. I think it's just easier if it's M&M's.
You know what? I'm taking all the M&M's.
Yeah, all the M&M's.
Milk chocolate, peanut butter, pretzel M&M's, all the M&M's. If Stu's going to play me like that in the Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, I'm going to get dirty. I'm going to be throwing elbows like I'm, Rasheed Wallace or something in the paint. All righty. Next one. All right, actually, probably better to say Kevin Garnett. You know, Kevin Garnett in the paint. My next pick. This is where it gets difficult, because I'm not going to go with still on my big board that's 1, because I don't think you'll name it. And if I end up being wrong here, that's fine. I've gone all chocolate so far, so let me venture out of the chocolate circle. There was one particular candy bar that I probably shouldn't venture away from, but I will here. I love Twizzlers. I will go Twizzlers. You know, red Twizzlers is my favorite type of Twizzlers. You know, Channing Crowder was very funny the other day. I was on 560 WQAM. He goes, "You like the black Twizzlers?" And I'm like, not really. And he goes, "What are you, racist?" That's what Channing Crowder said to me. Which I only a line Channing could say. You know, obviously I couldn't say that line. So I go Kit Kat Bar, Twix Bar, M&M's, Twizzlers, Stewie's, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, which I'm still annoyed about, Skittles, and Sour Patch Kids. You have two more picks. What do you got?
I do. My first one, I would go Snickers.
Okay, Snickers. Ooh, wow.
Was that on your list?
No, that's a colossal miss. That's a miss by me. I'm like Aaron Judge in the outfield right now in a big spot. Or I'm like Gerrit Cole trying to cover a bag and then forgetting to do so. I forgot about Snickers. Good job. Okay?
And my last pick will be Three Musketeers.
Three Musketeers. So you're like me when it comes to the sweet tooth. You prefer chocolate over like the gummies and all that stuff.
I mean, I had Sour Patch Kids and Skittles, so.
Yeah, fair. Fair.
I like both. Mm-hmm. I know. I'm probably more of a chocolate person, but I definitely like both.
So it feels criminal to me to leave a Crunch Bar off of here.
But yeah, that's a good one.
I'm going to leave a Crunch Bar off because here is my particular one. Cookies and Cream Hershey Bar.
Hershey, yeah, that's good.
The Cookies and Cream Hershey Bar is absolutely delicious. Scooby-dooby-doo! That was terrible. Sounded more like Fred Flintstone, if I'm being honest. Alrighty, so here are the results. Stu, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Then I go Kit Kat Bar and Twix Bar. Stu then goes Skittles and Sour Patch Kids. I then go M&M's and Twizzlers. Stu then goes Snickers and Three Musketeers, right, was your last pick?
Yes.
And then I took the Cookies and Cream Hershey Bar. So that is the Zach Gelb, Stu Kovacs, Zach Gelb Show, Ted Lasso, Scooby-Dooby-Doo on this Halloween edition of our Halloween candy draft. If you think we missed something, which I'm sure there's people that have better taste in this stuff than myself or Stu, you could always feel free to interact with me on Twitter and Instagram at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB. Or if you're going to be polite, you could get in the YouTube chat and maybe give us your comments as well. Alrighty, we will take a timeout. Hour number one, put it in the books. When we come on back, I got to delve into the Boston Red Sox. Because the Boston Red Sox, even though they weren't in the World Series, are still a story from the World Series. So we will get into some bad decisions by the Boston Red Sox when we come on back and why they're one big fat disgrace after winning all those World Series. Ryan Konigsberg is going to join us, host of DNVR's Buffs podcast. We'll talk a little bit about Coach Prime and his future. And it's also a Paper Shredder Thursday. We'll throw some teams in the Paper Shredder who will not be making the postseason this year.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.